But as I said, if I'd had the money to get back to Texas, I would have gone turn right around and way out of that.
Was it helping you make decisions?
No, it wasn't. It was to meet, you know, in a town where I lived in Texas, it was small. And everybody knew everybody because it was cattle country, you know. And out here, I was a perfect stranger. And the people that I had met where my sister lived, they were beautiful people. And they were just so friendly. But I got over here, like, I didn't know anybody. And I stayed, as I said, with my brother for 2 weeks. And then he told me about this lady across the street. Well, I was even scared to go over there and say she'd turn me down. And so when I did, oh, I never found anybody so friendly. The whole family, you know. And I was an old back, would be a countryside gal, you know. And I had these old glasses of horn rims, or whatever you want to call them. And she said, when I moved in, she said to me, well, we got to get you some more glasses. You're a good-looking girl, and those glasses don't look good on you. Let's get you some up-to-date glasses. So that's the first thing I did when I got a paycheck was get me some new glasses. But after I moved over there, I kind of got my wit. And I got to mingling with people that I had not known, you know, and got to know them. And I got to know the younger set as well as the older set. And then after a while, I was glad I came to California and I had to go back to Texas.
You said that the woman that you lived with watched your daughter. Did she watch her all the way through the war? Did you ever have child care for her?
No, never had that, and she did not charge me for it. She had a son herself, about a little bit older and younger than my daughter, and they played together, and we lived in a court, and but we lived in a home, not in a court apartment, but in a home. And she had little friends up and down the court, so she wouldn't have to play out in the street. And this lady would let her go and play with them after school, you know, until I came home. And I told her I wanted her to be right there when I came home from work. And she was. She was a good kid. Raised up to be a beautiful girl. So, no, she never touched me, and I only paid $60 a month. Rent and board. In those days, I thought that was beautiful. But I had a beautiful, beautiful place to stay and beautiful people to live with. We had one or two of them, you know. But that was just only too fun. But we could write a book about that house. House of Wonders.
And how long did you stay there?
I stayed there from 42 until early part of 45. And I found this apartment right up the alley from where they were. I didn't have any furniture, and she gave me a bed and a stove and the icebox for furniture. And she gave me an old chest of drawers. And that's all the furniture I had. But I had a little bit, I'd collected a little bit of money, and I had a little bit of money in the bank. So I went down and I bought me a cot. It had a bedroom and a bathroom and a living room, a hallway and a kitchen. And we ate in the kitchen as well. And I was real happy about it. It was upstairs. And then there was a family living underneath me. An old man living outside, and a girl living up the side. And two families in the back, two apartments up there. And I got to know all those people. I got up in the world rather than in the dumb Texas.
You said your brother lived across the street from this woman. Did you spend much time with him in the family?
Just he and his wife. Not too much, because he worked like this. And she was working also, not at Douglas, but at a place. And I had a cousin out here, and he was deputy. Well, he was a policeman to Santa Monica. And we just quite a bit with him. And they lived just a short way from where both of us lived. And then he would, you know, that's his last and then. And he had a car, and when he'd get enough gas, we'd go out for a little drive. He'd show my daughter and I the town. And we'd go up and see this cousin of mine. And, we went different places. We'd even go out of the town of Santa Monica, up to Malibu and Oxnard, and as long as the gas, you know, would hold out. And we like to dance, so we found an old country barn dance down in, I think it was Hawthorne or someplace down in there, and we'd go to those dances.
Your brother and you?
And his wife, yes, And then some of the boys that hadn't gone overseas yet, they came out here and they were stationed right down the street from where I live, where I roomed and board.
Some of your brothers?
No, friends. Some of my friends. And they were stationed down there. And I passed, they wrote to me, you know, from back home. And my daughter and I, we were walking down the street, and we happened to pass by there. And they had a big wire fence all around it, high chain link fence. And there those boys stood out there digging a hole. And we stopped and talked to them, and we took fingers through the fence, you know. And I said, what on earth are you digging that hole for? He said, well, we're going to fill it up. I said, well, what are you going to put in the hole to fill it up? He said, nothing. We dig this hole and we fill it up. He said, we have to have something to do. We're in camp right now, or stationed right here till we get into a camp. And that's what they were doing, digging that hole.
For the Army
camp? Yes, it was the Army, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and my brother had already gone overseas. Oh, you were talking about the Red Cross came to, you know, in the plant at Douglas, and they wanted, if we had any relations in the war, they wanted us to contribute cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And every month, or every week, I would contribute a carton of cigarettes to my brother. Mm-hmm. But he said he never got a one of them. Yes, he said he never got a one. I said, well, for months and months and months, I contributed to the Red Cross to send you a carton of cigarettes. He said he never got a one. It was the only time the Red Cross ever contacted him was when our grandmother passed away. And that was back in the 40s.
Did you just have the one brother in the service?
Yes. That's the time of the war, yes.
What war was he
facing? Well, he's facing over in Germany and all over there. He was the NGO head and South African campaign or African campaign or whatever it was. He was a tank. He was in one of these tanks. And his tank was named Tactless Texan. And he had three shot-out commanders. But he was never wounded. He did get that malaria fever. And he was in hospital for quite some time. But he was never wounded. He said his sergeant, or whatever was over him, was messing around up in one of the peepholes in the tank. And he got shot and was killed. But he had no business up there. He was the one that was supposed to be there, not his sergeant or lieutenant or whatever he was. But he never got any wounds. He always had he had the malaria, and that was all. But he ran quite a bit, zigzagged from the bullets that was coming by him. But he never got wounded, thank God.
Did you see
your sister much?
Did you get to spend
the time with your sister? Well, yes. She used to come over, and and stay with me on the weekend, some weekend, not every, but she was working in, Cleveland, in L.A. She lived in Los Angeles, and she'd board the streetcar and come over and spend the weekend with me. And both of us left dancing, so we'd go out dancing every Saturday night. And she'd spend the Saturday night with me about Sunday. And my landlady was beautiful enough to let us come in and sleep on the couch. She always loved my sisters coming over to see me, or my brothers, or, as I said, after the boys, we met them down here in the barricade, or barracks, as you call it, why, they came up and visited me, and they got to know her, and they just loved her, and she loved them. She'd glad to see those old cousins.
Now, you had the one brother and the one sister, did the rest of the family come out, or other, you
know, well, in later years, yes.
But not during the war?
No, not during the war.
Did you have much contact with them?
Oh, yes. Nearly every payday, I would spend a little bit of time and call my mother. But we wrote letters to the brothers and sisters that was left back there. And Mother always told me the news because they were always around too much, too. Mm. Yes, I always call my mother every time I got a paycheck.
What other kinds of things did you do in
your spare
time?
Well, with my daughter, I had to look halfway decent to go to school, and she and I would go to town and some Saturdays or down in Santa Monica, and get us some new dresses or shoes or whatever she had to have, you know. And then on a Saturday night, I tried to go to a dance, get out and have a little bit of recreation for myself. But I did let my daughter go to the movies in the afternoon with someone else, you know, board the bus and go back down to Santa Monica. Sundays, most of the time, I just stay at home or go across the street and visit my brother or something like that. Just little things, you know. Kind of rest up for Monday morning. Old Blue Monday, we used to call it.
Well, were most of your friends people that you met in Dundas, or were they people that you met outside?
Well, both. Yeah, this lady that I worked with so long, Thelma, she was a single girl, and I was single. So we got to get, no, she was a single boy, you know, in the aircraft. So they'd ask us to go out with them once in a while. We'd get a movie, go to a dance, or go out for dinner, or something like that, you know. And she and I didn't go out too much together. But it was after I moved, well, she had moved into a little place right down below where I did, after I moved, you know. And we got to know one another a little bit better, you know, where we could talk friends, you know, we talked work, you know. But I moved and then she moved. So then I lost contact. But my friends were from the plant, Douglas, and North American, and also that I had made outside of the plant.
Did you have people that, like personal friends, that you would have someone to confide in if you were feeling bad, or?
Well,
feeling your
secrets? More or less my sister. I don't know, I never did confide in anyone, really. I just kind of let it well up in myself when I blow steam off once in a while. But I really never had any problems, except I did get awfully homesick for a little while after I was here. But other than that, I was happy to go lucky girl. But I never did have any really problems. No really problems.
Did you anticipate that you would be laid off?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
How soon do you remember when you started thinking about that?
Well, when it came over the loudspeakers that they had surrendered and that peace treaty had been signed, then, yes, we were thinking about it. And anyway, I didn't think too much about it because I knew I was going to be purged from all the people that I had, you know, worked with in the plant, and I hate to see, you know, as tight, you know, because we all reach those northeast, south, and west. But I knew there was plenty of work still around. And when it came, I was ready for it. Because I went right to work other places. And I wasn't out. Well, I probably took a little bit of time out, maybe a month. And I had saved my money pretty well, and I was pretty well, you know. So I did take a little time out, but then I went to work and worked steady.
So you never worried that you wouldn't have a job?
No, no, no. Whenever I got, if I got laid off or if I quit from one job, I always went someplace else and got another one. I had plenty of opportunities to go to work anywhere that I practically wanted to. And they hired me. If I didn't know the work, I learned it.
What about when the layoff started happening? Were you part of the first group, or did you watch other people being laid off?
Yeah, we watched other people being laid off. We were about maybe, about third or fourth, fifth, maybe fifth group that was laid off.
Did a lot of people go at once?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. I see. Hundreds, you know. Maybe it'd be 50 out of our department, but not in the section that I worked in.
How much?
Now, I got laid off first, and my partner, she got it later, because she had more seniority than I had, see. And they were kind of a seniority.
How much notice did they give you?
Well, maybe, well, we, no, I don't know whether they gave me any notice or not. And I'd asked my lead man, what do you think I'm going to get the hammer today, the axe? Well, I don't know, man. But he wouldn't tell me definitely, but I knew it was coming, but we didn't know how soon. And they'd call us in the office, you know, tell us. And take your toolbox down, pick out the tools, turn in the bed.
What kind of, when they laid you off, what was the process?
Well, you just went down to personnel or wherever they check them out and you check your tools out. Through the process tool crib that you had, we could check out a tool and leave it in our toolbox, but we knew it belonged to the company, and they would go through our toolbox. They didn't trust us, which I don't blame them, because a lot of people carried stuff out of there. I never did, but they would go through our toolbox, or we'd turn them in, or both. Then I turned mine in, requisitioned them back in. And that's the way that we took them out, you know. And that was a process. We could take our, they gave us a paper where we could walk out the gate, you know. Mm-hmm. And we were inspected at the gate also. And we had to open our toolbox as we took a tool, as we went out.
Did anybody talk to you, like did you have a counselor or anything like that talk to you when it was time,
no.
Like exit interviews?
No,
you
no.
That
yeah,
you
yeah. They just called us up in the office and told us when we were going to be laid off in the process. Take the tools down there and shove off that gate. But we knew we had, we'd already had, we knew that we'd be, might be called back. It was according to our seniority. And when they did call me back, I had a very good job. And I didn't quit it. But I did quit it sooner or later because I didn't care for the job that they had offered me. I didn't want to lead nobody. They wanted me to be a lead lady. And I didn't want to do that. And another company was coming in to take over the company that I was working for. In other words, RCA was moving from Connecticut out here to California to take over this place where I was living.
What made you not want to be a lead?
I just don't want to be over anybody. I want them to tell me what to do. Not me, they'll tell them. I can show them, but I don't tell them what to do. I don't like to be a leader. You never know when you're going to tell a person what to do, and if you tell them right, or are you going to tell them wrong? You know, and if they do it wrong, they'll blame you. And I was a lead lady in a doll shop one time for about 2 weeks, and I said, I've had enough of that. And I never liked it. I've had bosses over me tell me how to do it, and they were good ones, but I never wanted to be one. And that's just the way I was. I was going to get a pretty good raise, but I said, no, I don't want it. Wiring and soldering, that's what I went into. It got too tedious, and I got too nervous, and I was doing nothing but pickup work anyway.
This was the job you had after Douglas
Fraser? Yes.
What was that company?
I had it down on my paper, but I've forgotten now just what it was. But it was wiring and soldering of... I don't know, indicators of some kind. I don't know. I forgot that now. But anyway, RCA was moving from Connecticut out here, and they wanted me to take over the people that worked in the department I was in. And I said, no way. When Douglas called me back, I'm going back. But then I was laid off again.
What did you do the second time you went back?
Well, I found my job. Went to work.
No, okay, you left this one company and you went back to Douglas. You were recalled back to Douglas. Mm. What year was that? I think it's...
Yeah.
I have it here too. 1950.
Yeah. I went to... from 40... No, I went back, 45 to 50, I was elsewhere. And then they, they called me back in 50, yes. Then I stayed there till 53. And I think they laid me off again. No, I quit. Then I went back in 54 and worked till 56. My girlfriend.